Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I cannot wait to go broke trying to get Joker Amiibos. And with me, I have...
R.I.P. Mixer, you died just as you live, with everyone going, what's Mixer?
And...
Hit the sinus button. I want that fucking voice tweet feature. Y'all need to hear my voice outside of this. Come on. You need it. You want it. I need that feature. I need that feature now.
Because the world... The beautiful dulcet tones of Mark cannot be contained to just a weekly, sometimes under an hour dosing. You need that shit constantly.
I mean, unless I got an iOS something phone, it's like, all I got is Android, because I can't afford the high shit.
Yeah, internet features and so.
But then again, it's Twitter.
Yeah, social media be weird like that. So, yeah, you know, that might be an interesting thing to mess around with. Then again, oh dear God, can you imagine fucking Ben Shapiro using audio tweets?
Oh no!
I'm in his fucking Muppet nasal ass voice spitting out bullshit.
Let's not.
Instead, I look forward to its obvious prime usage on the platform, rappers spitting out quick freestyles and tweets. You know what's gonna happen?
Look at wink wink.
Yeah. So anyway, here we are, episode 181. So, how's everyone been doing this past week?
More the usual, I guess. Not much to report, just trying to, you know, live and survive and live, which is becoming increasingly more difficult considering a vast number of people are totally okay with dying all of a sudden. And they're okay with having governors who want to kill them. Remember, if the governor's mansion is not open for touring, they're trying to kill you. Isn't that right, Georgia?
Still glaring my eyes at you, Ron DeSantis.
Oh yeah, him too, and all the other bootlickers. Oh, we live in a very, very stupid timeline, and it's just... But hey, now it's officially summer, which means nothing, really.
It's gonna get hot.
So, you know, don't get heat
stroke. And don't forget hurricane season.
Oh, yeah, that too. Yep. And apparently Saharan dust, I think. Whatever that is.
Well, we're going to find out soon enough, aren't we? Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see, it's been the usual, it's work all week, and it's rain all week sometimes, and, that's pretty much it. Like, I don't something usual happened. It's just the same old shit that happened around here, but, yeah, nothing ordinary.
Yeah, just kind of everything all is the same here. Save for the notification and the realization that apparently my university is going to be reopening back up in the fall. So they say for now, but at this rate of COVID-19 cases, I kind of doubt it. Son of a bitch. Why does existence have to be pain? But aside from that, and just trying to keep sane by watching a whole lot of shit on Hulu and whatever. And of course, you know, just games. Gotta do what I can to keep myself not completely bored, at least. We move on from those formalities to, of course, doing our usual business on this podcast. Starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. Of course, as always, there's going to be a playlist down in the description, so you can hear some of these tracks for yourself and maybe pick up some new stuff for your weekly listenings and whatnot. And to start off, we have a trio of jams from albums that all follow successive weeks in August. Because reasons. It made sense to me to organize it like that. So, anyway, so starting off at the top, we have a new single courtesy of Misery Signals, or Misery Singles, if we're trusting the URL on this Metal Sucks piece. Proofreading. From their upcoming album Ultraviolet, due out August 7th. The track is called River King, and I gotta be honest, it's okay, but I'm not digging it as much as the last single we got. Maybe because this one feels a little bit too, just kind of meh, like just a monotone flavor throughout. Sure, it's got a decent melodic intro with these clean drifting lead melodies and this kind of simple but kind of ghost note lane drum groove. The vocals kind of have an ethereal wispy tone. Then it just kind of builds into this consistent but kind of monotonous heavy groove and chug. There's a bit of interesting drum work going on, but overall it just kind of feels like it's that same flavor just hitting you over and over again, to the point where once the breakdown kicks in at the end, it doesn't feel any different from the rest of the song. It's okay, but nothing special.
Yeah, first time around, I thought this band had something missing that I didn't like. This time around, while it starts off very ethereal and atmospheric, it quickly goes into some basic, heavy, chugging metalcore grooves that, still not doing it for me. Not helped by that typical, and I mean very typical, stop-start core groove, you know the one, and that terrible mic technique in the video. Mm. Oh my god, okay, I can't really describe it visually, but I can kind of tell you what it sounds like if it were actually happening. Just give me 1 minute. Okay, now this is what we call proper microphone technique. This is what it sounds like in the video. Rah, 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 rah.
Oh, dear God.
Well.
And for the
it just sounds like this.
You're sounding like an airplane announcer.
You see?
It's like way too close.
It's so awful.
Ugh. Or like some bog standard Twitch streamer.
Yeah. This is how you're supposed to sound in the microphone. Not super up close with your hand cupping the mic. Dumbass.
It's almost like there's t-shirts for that or something. But anyway, now to move on to our next track here. We finally have the announcement of the newest studio album from sludge and doom metal act Primitive Man. It's called Immersion, and it's coming out August 14th. And so we have the lead-off single here called The Lifer, which I mistakenly titled as The Lighter in the document because I have brain worms. And while much like the previous track, admittingly this one is a single monotonous flavor throughout, although instead of metalcore, it's sludge and doom, so it just kind of hits you with like this persistent, grinding, low-end guitar and bass fuzz filling out the mix. No empty space with the occasional vague lead that sharply like punctuates through all that fucking low end, the vocals being bellowy and deep as hell, the drum groove slowly pounding with menacing intent. Again, while this is one-dimensional, it's at least a dimension that I can get into. It's like, it's kind of like just trying to munch through a giant slab of well-cooked meat with no sides or garnish. That's just my opinion, though. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a sucker for this kind of thing. Maybe because it's the only thing that sonically sounds how I feel about gestures vaguely at everything.
Okay, now I understand that to the outside world, this would be totally abrasive and harsh to the ears. Nearly 7 minutes of just raw, raucous noise and sludge and doom. But for me, this is like a lullaby. Not doing it for me. It's just not for me. It's what I'm trying to say. Not quite what I like.
Well, perhaps this next thing that we have to talk about here is more to your liking, because coming out August 21st, we have the newest album from a progressive metal act called Pyramid Theorem, titled Beyond the Exosphere. Who's Pyramid Theorem? I have no fucking clue. But it's always fun to throw some fresh meat on the table, isn't it? So we have this lead single here called Freedom, and it sounds like some pretty typical progressive metal. Like, it's got this really steady syncopated groove with touches of what I think is like a flanger or echo effect in the riffs for good measure. The groove of the guitar and the drums kind of have like this very Symphony X style of tone to it, especially with like the soaring power metal-ish vocals. The drum work is pretty tight, it's got some interesting use of cymbal accentuations and sticking patterns. There's of course that slower part in the middle where everything kind of streamlines into a simple 6-8 groove, complete with like bell chimes and some shreddy solos over top it. pretty typical stuff. I'm into it. I might be inclined to check this out when it drops.
I think you're trying to say chorus effects.
Chorus, Flint. Yeah, I always get those two mixed up.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm a simple guy. I see a piece on Metal Injection that has the terms progressive metal, influences, Dream Theater, Symphony X, and Rush, and I'm in. And yeah, it's a very brisk 5-minute prog metal jog with all the elements I like in prog metal. Soaring vocals, heavy guitars, syncopated drum grooves, some heavy synths. My one gripe has to do with the drum sound. I don't know why those drums sound as metallic as they do. It doesn't quite work. It stands out way too much in the mix. Other than that, it's very solid.
Yep. Anyway, now time to move out of the realm of metal for a second. We have a new track here, courtesy of the funk lord himself, Anderson .Paak, called Lockdown, which, as you can imagine, comments on not just the recent wave of Black Lives Matter protests, but also at the intersection of that and the current pandemic that a lot of people want to see us die in. Those in power, as we have clearly established.
But yeah, as you know about the song, like, this song definitely, because he was talking about, you know, only going with the protests, what's going on with our lives in this pandemic right now. Like, you got the first verse, time heals all, be out of time now, just got to look at what is on the clock tower, through tear gas, clean the whole place out, I'll be back with a hassle for the next round, which all the protests, you know, protests and fires, all that shit, civil unrest, like, and then, like, how we gonna do with this shit, and all that shit, like, there's also another line I said about sick of the COVID, how they got to do on the grounds with the COVID. Is that still going around? We're talking about the looting. Is that really all about? Could it really last like paper towels? Plus, unemployment rate, what, 40 million now? Yeah. And of course, there's a video, you get all sorts of cameos in there, like you see Sid, you see Sir, you even got one verse from a J-Rock, which he delivered a good verse, which is, I could probably go like, turn them into your two dogs, look how they do us. These are our next bullets and backs, and checks ready for blacks, history repeating, people scared to eat a chicken, everybody gonna think, what did they put in there, look at where we're living in, they got a shook and ain't gonna get jawed, and your color might get you took, and you get the man in the mirror, can look away, you gotta look at Black Lives Matter, what it means when they shoot at it. Yeah, I gotta say, this is definitely some, you know, some real shit out there. I mean, no shit, it's some real shit, but yeah. Especially in the video, which, you know, y'all seen a worn out and mask, like, you got, I will say cuts, maybe cuts, like, you know, from bruises or from the protests, all that shit going on, and you see, you know, people, like, you know, just trying to survive this whole shit, and of course, you see Anderson go home to his son, which, that's like a real shit moment, like, oh, yeah. But yes, this is a damn good song, a song that, of course, was needed, but yeah, it's that good.
Anderson .Paak bringing the fire as always.
Yep.
Now moving on to the next track here. So there's a new project from folk metalers Enciferum coming out July 10th called Thalassic. I assume that means something in some language somewhere. And of course there's the new single from them that we have to talk about here called Andromeda. And yeah, this sounds like folk and power metal, all right. That melody is as typical as it gets for the genre. The vocals alternate between the rough screams and that really corny-ass soaring melodic highs. The riff, the drums are what they are. I'm not overly into Enciferum or anything, but this sounds pretty typical, so I guess if you're a fan, you'd probably be satisfied.
Thalassic, by the way, means relating to the sea. So, you know, there's that. Yeah, it's very folkish with its structure, with what might be a bit of a Nordic and or Celtic influence, complete with a rather salacious video to it as well, wink wink. Yeah, you know, y'all know if you know.
Don't watch the playlist at work.
No. Well, who's really at work nowadays?
the essential heroes that we have to thank for all our services.
Nobody's thanking me or Mark or, what do you do again?
Nothing at the moment because I can't physically go to my job for reasons.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. So, yeah. I'm probably more into this because, after like 5 years, I finally started playing The Witcher 3. Yes, I know. Ha ha ha. Guy who doesn't play games is finally playing games. I'm just here for the fan service, okay? That's all I care about.
Yeah, it is what it is. But anyway, time to move on to the next track here. This past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program, courtesy of a rapper named Xavier Wolf, produced by a guy named Marcello, and my dumbass poked Marcellage in the notes because my fucking attempts to read the graphic design mistakes close parentheses for a J.
I think we'll know who to blame later. This time it's not Elon Musk, it's someone worse.
Oh boy. Thank God for... Actually, no, I'm not going to thank God for that. If it's worse than Elon Musk, dear God! But anyway, yeah, so the single is called Don't Touch That Remote, and there's not much to add or say because it's like a minute 30 seconds, basically. And, you know, he's just kind of free-flowing stream of conscious, talking about hooking up with a chick, or I think he kicked out a chick. I don't know. At the beginning of the song, he mentions kicking a chick out of his room because she turned the TV off when he was trying to watch Adult Swim, which is certainly a way to tie in your song to the... Okay, that's something. But then at the end, he's like with another chick who I guess doesn't mind Adult Swim as much, and I'm guessing that's who he's sticking with for the time being. But it's just that typical trap beat, low-key delivery. It's just... It's whatever.
So I'm guessing this is it's like an Adult Swim promo track, to be honest.
It could be.
Because I know they mentioned Sam Jack. I'm guessing they meant Samurai Jack. It's like, okay. But other than that, yeah, this song is, well, it's there. I mean, I don't mind it. I mean, I don't even promote Adult Swim, and they do it.
Yeah. That'll work for you. We certainly remember it that much. That much is for sure. But anyway, time to move out of that territory to the next track here. So, a while back, we talked about a new single from Idols and rumblings of a new album on the horizon, one that supposedly had the involvement of Mr. Kenny Beats. And so, here we are now with not just a new Idols single, but the actual album announcement itself. Their newest project is called Ultra Mono, and it's coming out September 25th. The single that we have here is called Grounds, and compared to the more chipper, relatively speaking, tones of the previous song we got, Motivation, this one is a lot more, I almost want to say industrial, downbeat in a sense. Like, most of it is driven by this very aggressive, simple, pounding thud of the drums with this, like, really simple triplet burst of notes in the guitars to punctuate the rhythms. Of course, you have, like, that gnarly, grizzle, you know, that British accented shout of Joe Talbot, with the lyrics being, of course, about, you know, the power of strength in numbers to overcome various kinds of injustices. You know, again, gestures vaguely, it's everything. Hell, there's kind of a weird synth thing that punctuates a lot of the song, sometimes tweeting very high, almost kind of like a radio signal, and then sort of having this synthetic buzzy low end to it. Of course, naturally, as expected with those kind of tones, it does eventually swell into this kind of cacophonous noise at the end. And, you know, it's one of the more interesting songs that I've heard out of the Idols camp. It makes me wonder what exactly is going to be going on with the big picture of this album, so to speak, or if this is just like an outlier.
Mm-hmm. As a message, it's fine. As a song, pass. I got nothing. Pass.
All right. I guess with that pass, it's time to move on to the next track here. And of course, these last four songs here are, of course, again, more protest anthems. This first one, coming courtesy of R&B singer Her, the song is, of course, titled I Can't Breathe. And it's a pretty simple R&B melody, streamlined so that way her lyrics can take full focus, and they pretty much are the focus of the song, like, pretty much covering every, you know, facet of everything you can. Like, for example, just to quote some choice lines here, the structure was made to make us the enemy, stripped of bloodlines, whipped and confined, this is the American pride, it's justifying a genocide, romanticizing the theft and bloodshed that made America the land of the free. We are past fear. We are fed up eating your shit because you think your so-called black friend validates your wokeness and erases your racism. You know, those, I'm not racist. I have a friend who's black. Those type of motherfuckers. Yep. The kind of uncomfortable conversation is too hard for your trust fund pockets to swallow. So, you know, aiming at a certain kind of upper-class white person. And all I have to say is, get their ass, her. Get their ass.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it was like, you pretty much said it all for me, like, the first two verses, yeah, definitely, you're pretty soulful, heart-wrenching, especially the second verse, how they describe, you know, how they really describe, you know, depending on Joel's voice, did as in all the names you refuse to remember, with somebody's brother, friend, or son, to a mother that's crying, singing, yeah, and yeah, and of course, the third verse is definitely like, yeah, I'm gonna get rid of you motherfuckers, like, that type of shit. And yeah, and yes, this is definitely just dug deep in you. Yeah.
Message as clear as day on here, especially with that spoken word third verse. Y'all go listen to that. Do it. Just do it.
Again, there's a reason why we consistently love her and think she's one of the best in the game. And speaking of getting their ass, you didn't think this whole thing would pass by without some commentary courtesy of clipping, now, would you? No.
Oh, yes. I mean,
how could it not? I mean, remember, their last album literally had, like, an overwhelming amount of songs, you know, talking about racism, police brutality, and tying it into the theme of violence and whatnot. So, of course, they had to get in on this with a single that they released on June 19th, profits of which, you know, went to... Okay, I know Bandcamp's profits went to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. I don't know if Clipping did anything else with, like, their share of the profits, but, you know.
Actually, I got it right here. It says to split this portion of all Bandcamp sales between the GoFundMe for George Floyd's daughter, People's Reference Oakland, the Okra Project, and Afro Rack. Like, yeah, there's a lot of organizations. So, yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, so... We have their newest song here, Chapter 319, and fittingly enough, since, George Floyd was mentioned, the single itself actually opens and closes with samples of George Floyd back when he was a rapper in the Houston Chopped and Screwed scene under the name Big Floyd. And of course, once Clipping kicks in, the ferocity of it all gets right to the fucking point. The beat is one of the most fiery and immediate they've ever produced, and of course, the lyrics just are nonstop, rapid-fire, precision machine gun strikes to just everything. For example, just to, again, quoting some choice lines here, it's consistent as a monster paid by the system set up to prosper on the victims of the historic situation as property. You keep laying dumb but still be trusted with guns. You must be defunded. This march is not a one-off. This march is not the misaimed warning shot. This march a foot in your fucking throat to choke out the whole assumption that you are here to protect us. This government doesn't respect us, and somehow they seem to expect us to accept the power a piece-of-shit millionaire president wants to project. And of course, if you support Donald Trump, you're a white supremacist, full stop.
Full stop. You vote for him again, you're a white supremacist, full stop. Call it is and let the room spin it till they full stop. Put one up for Big Floyd. The march is not gonna stop. Yeah, that's yeah. Oh, yeah. This is very, very. It's very fucking clear of what like. There's no more to say what they're going on because yeah. And Nichols Clipping brought that special clipping that they always brought. And this is another good track. I try to focus. Brad, what's going on?
Yeah.
Unlike.
Actually, before you go there, before we get to that, I have some things to say about this track.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
This much more in your face with this message, complete with the rather poignant sample throughout the track with some very, very fierce bars all over. And just in case it wasn't mentioned clearly enough, I'd like to mention that one line in here. Donald Trump is a white supremacist, full stop. And just in case anyone didn't hear that, I'll repeat myself. Donald Trump is a white supremacist, full stop.
We are making ourselves perfectly clear here.
Yeah.
Clipping is making themselves perfectly clear here. We did not stutter. That's the point.
Yeah, they did not stutter. Although, I stuttered a lot, but you get my point, or their point.
Yeah, so anyway, time to move on to our last couple of songs here, which together kind of comprise a really awkward set of days as far as the rap world is concerned. Of course, with the prevalence of artists commenting on the current waves of Black Lives Matter protests, it was only a matter of time before certain names chimed in. For example, J. Cole, because he's been known to be one of those conscious rappers who raps about important stuff in the world. And he dropped a single out of the blue called Snow on the Bluff. And, well, okay, so his take, literally the beginning of the song is just him openly admitting that, despite the rampant praise from every corner of the music world as some kind of, like, hip-hop oracle, all-knowing or something, he's just an average dude who doesn't really know much, which, you know, is a weird way to frame your song, but I suppose it's a valid sentiment. I mean, you gotta remember, as much as we praise certain music artists, they're still just people subject to the same follies and perceptions of reality as the three of us on here, for example. So, yeah, he starts off with that point, and then he starts rapping about an unnamed person's Twitter presence who's been tweeting about the police brutality situation in the past, you know, few weeks, several months, years, and all that. And with an unashamed ferocity and doesn't really sugarcoat anything. But then it goes into this territory where he suggests that maybe being so unrepentantly aggressive in your commentary on these situations is the wrong tone to take when trying to talk about it, suggesting almost quite literally, like I'm paraphrasing actual words from the song, that you have to hold the public's hand like a child on these issues as the necessary path in order to get them on your side. Now, personally speaking, I think this idea in general is really stupid. Because if you're going to look at the just grotesque injustices committed against black people on the part of police officers and just the institutional racism of this entire fucking country, and you think explaining that to people has to be sugar-coated, I really don't know what to tell you there. That's just not something I'm down for at all.
Okay, yeah, at first, it's like how people think he's deep in terms of like that's more of his fans doing that shit because they always do that shit whenever he drops something, and things I'm not that fucking deep, which okay at first like okay, and then the part where you got she's Maggie's crackers that's like oh you are going the wrong fucking way and the rest of the song it's like. But talking down to that specific person, which I ain't gonna name yet, because we're saving that one. It's like what I said. But shit, she's something about the queen tone that's body was like, oh, okay. It's like okay, damn. It's like let's just say, oh, she's black, because I'm pretty sure, because we're sure who you refer to. And let's be honest, when you talk about Babylon today, which no, stop. You're not gonna win with that. You're going to lose. You're gonna end up looking like an asshole. And that's both for hip hop and anime.
Yeah.
You get my point. You get my point.
She mad at the celebrities, low key I be thinking she talking about me. Kindly check your ego at the door, sir.
This is definitely an ego check. And the thing is, like, I know like when the protest started, people saying, oh, where's J. Cole? Where is he at? Like, I mean he's there, and they said another rapper who's you know, I'm gonna go say it. People saying, "Where's Kendrick Lamar at? Where's he at? Where's his tweet?" Like he's doing the shit too. He's just not on social media a lot. Which good thing for him. He wouldn't be involved in that shit.
Yeah, he's literally. We've seen the pictures. He's literally there in the streets, on the ground in the protests.
Yeah. Just because he don't tweet about it doesn't mean he ain't doing the shit. And oh, and one more thing. Don't tweet about him asking where a new album at, man. Like, nigga, this is not the right time to do that
neither
shit.
Neither the time nor the place. It'll happen when it happens.
Yeah. And just, it might be shelf from what I heard because y'all have to act on that on his fucking birthday. Okay, look. I know he wants a new Kendrick. Now ain't the right time. Now it's not the right place. You just sound fucking stupid. You just sound fucking stupid. Why am I sensing myself? But yeah, this song is it went all the wrong way. Like it just fuck it just I just want to say, like, what the hell are you doing? Not to mention, oh, it also sounds boring as well. Like, it got the, usually out of my kind of attention, it's like, this is kind of dreary, kind of boring.
Yeah. So, in case you're wondering, the still lingering question mark, who the hell was he even talking about or responding to? It's pretty heavily implied that he was, aiming this song at No Name.
Yep. Yep, oh, No Name. He's a rapper, owner of a book club, and, she responded to that shit, too. With this song, Song 33.
Yeah.
And
it's literally just a minute and 10-second knockout punch of a song. It doesn't waste too much time because literally the basic message of the song is that J. Cole kind of seemed like he was wasting his platform and his time. Like, I'm not quoting specific lines, basically, like, the gist of the song can be boiled down to is, my dude, J. Cole, are you fucking serious right now? With how fucked everything is nowadays, with Amazon's dominance of the capitalist landscape and the way it actually financially supports police brutality to black trans women being murdered all over the place during Pride Month. Oh, and yeah, did we mention it? The lynchings?
Yeah, the lynchings. Now I thought they were trying to talk about that shit.
With all this shit going on, you decide you're going to use your studio space and platform to tone police me?
Right.
Get out of here with that shit.
Right. I said, again, if you're trying to talk down black women at a time like this, you're not going to win. You're not going to look good at this shit. You're going to look stupid. And then I mentioned that, the Beast Man considering, who produced it, by the way? Oh, look, it's Madlib.
Yeah. Like I said, a minute and 10-second knockout. Although, apparently, from what I've been told, No Name had evidently apologized to J. Cole for jumping the gun.
Yeah, she kind of went back on it, citing that bit of an ego trip on her part as well. But then again, I'm not going to say she wasn't wrong for doing it.
True. She's not in the wrong here. Rather than, but at least know she was right on this shit. Also, again, made a better song with a better beat from better producer.
Yeah.
So and it's about the length of a, I want to say, Toonami cut anime opening.
About. Yeah. So congratulations, J. Cole. You just wasted a whole bunch of time. I'll be proud of yourself.
Jermaine. Cole.
Anyway, with that, we are finished with the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got some news topics, so stay tuned for all of that. And we're back. So for our first news topic here, let's talk about the realm of internet streaming of various types. And not just like Netflix streaming, but more like Twitch, YouTube gaming streaming, formerly Mixer, stuff like that. If you've been paying attention to the internet, you might notice there's been a rather noticeable uptick in Twitch streams and YouTube streams getting hit with copyright strikes and takedowns and whatnot for using copyrighted music. Apparently they've been getting significantly more strict about that lately than they've been in the past, and there's been lots of talk, not just from individual streamers, but even artists whose music has been used in these streams, who are saying, look, you know what, it's no big deal to us, go ahead and use, like, I don't know, the Rise Records discography or something in your playthrough of Persona 5 Royal, it doesn't bother us that much. Yeah, so stuff like that. And so, to combat this, of course, one of the internet's favorite metal shit posters, Mr. Jared Dines, has collaborated with the likes of Dragon Force, Infinite Annihilator, Angel Vivaldi, and Trivium, of course, you know, Matt Heafy being no stranger to Twitch streaming, to create a comprehensive playlist of songs that will avoid all kinds of copyright strikes. Of course, the playlist is humorously titled Royalty Bree, you know, because comedy.
Yeah.
And a lot of what's in this playlist is a lot of solo Jared Dine stuff, Daddy Rock, yeah, Trivium, Infinite Annihilator, all stuff like that. So should that be your go-to musical aesthetic of choice if you want to avoid the copyright bots coming down on you? There you go. And if that's not the type of music you're into, well, you better learn to get used to Infinite Annihilator real fucking fast if you don't want lawyers riding your ass.
Yeah, because as we all know, music copyright regulations are very, very, very stupid and dumb and don't benefit anybody except all the frickin' music publishing interns who love to have their fingers on the button whenever there's like 3 seconds of audio in a 20-minute long video saying, oops, I'm gonna take your channel down, you can't do anything about it. Isn't that right, Mark Grondin, with how much crap you have to deal with from all these music publishing interns?
Oh, boy. Yeah,
it's not fun, especially with the whole Content ID DMCA system being incredibly fundamentally broken. Isn't that right, Sony, with your Spider-Man Miles Morales trailer getting copyright striked by a company who has nothing to do with Spider-Man? But YouTube doesn't know any better. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Wait, the Spider-Man Miles Morales trailer got copyrighted? Yeah. Didn't PlayStation? What the fuck is going on with these fucking...
Y'all stupid! It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. You'll copyright official trailer uploads, or sometimes it'll get used for more frivolous purposes. Isn't that right, Universal Music Group, who took down one of my tweets just for posting album artwork of Pearl Jam? I'm still very sour about that.
By the way, that the trailer is back up now. It's just awfully frustrating when people can use the Content ID system freely without any threat of punishment. Be better about that, YouTube. That's the biggest problem you have. Oh, along with the Nazis and PewDiePie, but that goes hand in hand, doesn't it?
And Jake Paul too, or
hand in hand.
Yeah, it's the internet content creation hellscape is just that, a hellscape.
Yeah.
But now we at least move out of that to the real world where festivals are still getting postponed and canceled because of COVID-19. The most recent announcement being that Chicago's Riot Fest is being postponed from 2020 to 2021. So this is, of course, noticeable because we already knew fall was completely out the fucking window. But now it looks like the possibility... I'm sorry, summer. Why did I say fall? Summer is completely
out the fall
window. But now even fall festivals are kind of starting to see this as well. Lord knows how far the thing will extend. But yeah, it's been postponed. It will now be scheduled for September 17th to 19th, 2021 in, you know, Douglas Park, Chicago. And the headliners are, of course, the 2020 headliners, My Chemical Romance, them rescheduling the entirety of their reunion tour to next year, as well as acts like Smashing Pumpkins, Pixies, Run the Jewels, Coheed and Cambria, Taking Back Sunday, Newfound Glory, The Circle Jerks, and various other acts. Of course, looking at the poster, you can see Sublime with Rome, Vic Mensa, Gogol Bordello, Thrice, Circa Survive, Best Coast, B-Side, L7, Pup, Mayday Parade, Fever 333, nice, Living Color, Big Freedia, Swimmers, Beach Bunny, Alex G, No Longer Sandy, Fucked Up, Boston Manor, White Lung, and of course the second and final waves, that is unfortunate word choice there. Yeah, there's gonna be a second wave, all right. Actually, scratch that, we never left the first wave.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, wow. How worse could it get? I don't fucking know.
Just ask Florida and Texas and Georgia and Tulsa, Oklahoma. Just quarantine that whole city for a month for your own good.
Well, I'd like to believe that would happen, but again, the reason that the spikes are so bad is because those places are governed by assholes with brain worms. Unlike other foreign countries. Now, with all the talk of COVID-19 and its heavy impact on, you know, the music industry in various facets, we've of course seen a lot of talk about, like, businesses, you know, venues and festivals having to adjust or outright cancel their plans, you know, especially if we're talking smaller scale venues having to worry about, like, funding and financing, because how else are these people afford fucking rent? Because apparently there's not, like, rent freezes or anything, even though people can't afford their rents or mortgages, but whatever, I guess they expect us to figure it out somehow. Sell your plasma for some money or something. But if you live in a country like, say, Germany, their federal government is at least trying to do something about it. They recently passed a 1 billion, whatever the German currency is.
Euros.
Titled... Oh, euros? Is that what that is? I thought it was something else.
It's
but
euro.
Yeah, so 1 billion euros in a recovery fund, which they've called Neustart Kultur, literally translated as Restart Culture. It aims to, of course, help out German cultural sectors and stuff. And according to various sources, they are giving 150 million euros to its music venues. And I quote, "We want to save our unique cultural sector and give perspective to artists. With Neustart Kultur and in combination with other multi-billion euro recovery funds of the federal government, we're making a contribution that is internationally unparalleled." That is from federal... Culture Minister of Germany, Monika Grütters. I'm probably pronouncing that horribly. So, yeah. So, to the German government, they're actually helping out their music venues. Meanwhile, in America, we have Live Nation forcing festival organizers and bands playing those to take, you know, severe pay cuts or maybe even pay out if those shows don't meet a certain profit margin. America's fun, isn't it?
But it's okay because we have these drive-in concerts that
I don't know what's more dumb, this or when AMC say AMC doing that reopen movie shit and that blew up in their fucking
face.
Yeah,
I agree with Rob Flynn. Drive-in concerts, yes, the stupidest fucking shit I've ever seen.
Again, New Zealand gets to have rugby matches and major sports, because they were able to get on top of this shit as soon as possible and take it seriously. Meanwhile, we live in a country where the mere idea of whether or not this virus even exists can apparently be considered a matter of opinion.
Or politics!
Remember, if we don't test, we don't have more cases.
Meanwhile, please ignore this ever-growing pile of dead bodies. I'm sure there's not a trend there at all.
Everything is still horrible. Isn't it fun?
How the hell could it possibly get any fucking worse? Wait, hang on.
What?
Wait, you? What the hell are you doing here?
Shotgun!
I thought we were done with you! We left your ass behind in 2019. You have no room to be coming back in here again.
I'm going to switch with
you. You're not leaving, are you? You son of a bitch. Right, I forgot this. We have a humiliation fetish on our hands, so, ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform you that Michael Lang is at it again.
Oh, God
damn it. Are you fucking serious?
Every time I think I'm free of this story, it just keeps coming back.
You couldn't have done this before we decided to upload the whole compilation. That is going to have to be an addendum to that. This is like a really bad one-shot to like a mediocre Shonen Jump manga series.
No.
Did we need you here?
No, okay. Two things. One, if only this were the Death Note one-shot. And two, I am not re-editing that whole thing. You can't make me. But I suppose we have to get this out of the way because God knows this needed an epilogue. So, deep breath. In case anyone out there doesn't know the story of Woodstock 50, God, I envy you. It is a story full of idiocy, wasted money, and a festival that never happened because, as mentioned before, Michael Lang couldn't get the fucking permits for the festival in upstate New York.
Yeah.
That didn't stop him from trying, though, and that didn't stop him from buddying up with Dentsu, you know, the big Japanese conglomerate, for a financial partnership. Only that didn't really work out. And now we have a new lawsuit filed in the Supreme Court of the State of New York. And yes, I am double checking this. The Variety piece says June 17th, 2020. We're doing this again. And said lawsuit claims that, on behalf of Michael Lang, of course, Dentsu and his subsidiary agreed to finance the festival, but then manufactured an excuse to breach their agreement, thereby depriving the organizers of millions in revenue. You know, because it's easy to pull off a festival when you don't have your health permits for a mass gathering. Quote, Dentsu and Amplify made the cold-blooded decision to exit their investment, having nothing to do with any alleged breaches by Woodstock 50, but rather, this is rich, to avoid the potential that the festival would not make money or not be as successful as they hoped. Again, permits. Get them first.
Yeah, there's a reason they suspected that it wouldn't make any, that much money. Very good reasons. Because you have your head up your ass. Like, all the way up there.
Yes. And the suit also claims interference with contract, trade libel, and conspiracy. Because, you know, there was supposedly bad-mouthing going on and financial and business harm, saying that they couldn't pull off the festival without the firm backing them monetarily. God damn it. Here I thought the LOL suit couldn't be any dumber. This might not be as dumb, but it's still very, very bad. I would not expect this to go very deep within the judicial system, but as we see here, nature always finds a way to come back around. Isn't it grand?
My God, Michael. Could you not just take the L? You were already taking several of them. What's one more?
Oh, God. Apparently, they're looking for, quote, tens of millions of dollars in this lawsuit.
Ha!
Yeah, because it was all a sabotage from the very start. It was all according to Keikaku, as some would say. Oh my God.
Again. Ha!
Yeah, I am not expecting this to go very far, because I'm an individual with a brain.
Woodstock 50, man. It's like an onion. There's layers to this story, but the more you peel away, the more you start crying in agony over how much of a fucking moron Michael Lang is.
And this onion is not like Shrek.
Yeah, because at least the Shrek movies actually happened.
Yep, that's certainly true. That's certainly true.
Yeah, so I wish you the worst of luck, Michael Lang. I hope you get your ass beaten in court. I hope they take every penny from you. And you end up having to piss in a burlap sack in the streets.
With some dog food.
Good God. Could you imagine if he tried to organize this in the year of coronavirus? Or if coronavirus struck during 2019 instead. God, that would have made for a hell of a story. Even more so than the one we already got.
Who knows? He might have even tried to sue the government of China over Woodstock 50 not happening. Which he still might. You never know. I mean, after all, we live in an absolute idiocracy where former government people who run for government office, those people, are implying, oh my God, did this congresswoman collude with North and South Korea? Because the K-pop stans are having an incredible babyface turn and sabotaged the gathering of the death cult, allegedly.
Yeah. Some big crowd, isn't there?
Not even a third.
People said the Wiggles had more of artists than that. The fucking Wiggles.
I'm pretty sure I saw more people at Anime Expo last year. No, I definitely saw more people at Anime Expo last year. But, so... You know what? You say that as a joke, but given that Michael Lang once employed Donald Trump's legal counsel, he very well could sue China. He might actually be that stubborn and stupid.
Once again, idiocracy. Not even the good kind, either.
Yeah. But... we'll just have to wait and see until all of that plays out. So, with all the news out of the way, now it's time to take care of the new album releases for the week of June 26, 2020. Starting at the top, we have the newest project from Chester Bennington's former project Grey Days with Amends. There is unfortunately a new Imura album coming out this Friday called Hindsight. From Crash Thompson's favorite band, Remo Drive! Obvious sarcasm intended, but yeah, new Remo Drive project, A Portrait of an Ugly Man. From the band Haim, we have Women in Music Part 3. From Kruangbin, with their new album Mordecai. New Neon Trees project, I Can Feel You Forgetting Me. And of course, the newest project from producer Arca with Kick Eye.
Now, I want to add two more albums to this into here, if you don't mind.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, well, technically, this one is already released now, and here's the thing, they're both this one's on Bandcamp and SoundCloud. Remember Mike? His album, Way of the World, is out now on Bandcamp and SoundCloud. Oh, and also, speaking of Adult Swim-ish things, Kitty, she got a new EP coming out called Charming Mirror. I remember an EP, which, as he calls, 420.
Nice.
And they said profits of this will go to Glitz. It's in support of transgender sex workers.
Excellent.
Excellent. Yes, very excellent of her and them.
So now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Or of Azure, if you want to find my old stuff, or if you somehow find me in the GOG Galaxy application or Xbox or whatever the kids do nowadays. I'm still trying to figure out this whole modern gaming thing that, I'd rather just play Tekken 3 instead. I'm that kind of guy.
Tekken is very good. Mark, what about you?
On Twitter, wishing I had the voice opinion at Max to Have a Media, and of course on my site, mindhaveone.wordpress.com. Recently, I posted, well, Orfetch'n BK Squad is back with episode 7, which I got that up. And soon I shall release Time of the Season, Spring 2020 edition, recapping what actually finished, or what's left to finish, and yeah. It ain't much. It's like half what I usually watch, but yeah.
Yep. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@zeroresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the weekend, so subscribe. Hit the bell tab on our official YouTube channel so you're always notified when new stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SuperRezzo, like us on Facebook. Be sure to visit the website SuperResolution.com for this podcast, written content, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. be sure to jump into our Discord. So, as always, you can shitpost your spiciest gaming takes and Super Smash Brothers memes. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you for following along with us this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with the usual business. And until then, thanks a lot, Captain Falcon. I am now very hungry for some ramen noodles.
Black people sell how they is, not how, based how you feel. Fucking weebs.